Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, give you praise, glory, and honor once again for allowing us to see another day, Father. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins, and we ask that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for this Shabbat. Thank you for this day of rest. Thank you for this time that you have set apart for us. Our time to commune with you, even though we can commune with you at any given time, you set this day up especially for us as a sign between you and your people. Father, we thank you for protecting us throughout the week. We thank you for all the lessons that you have for us during the week. May we take from it what we need, Father, to get us to that next step of growth with you. Father, we ask that you heal anyone who is suffering mentally, physically, spiritually, Father. Heal them according to your will and show them, Father, your mercy, your great mercy. Father, we ask that you allow us to learn your word, Father. Give us what's needful for us at this time. Continue to grow us in a manner that is pleasing to you. Continue to just move us ahead, Father. Father, we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father. Our gift from you. Blessed be you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words that were uttered with truth. Blessed be you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. It's your brother Dale Well. Here at Blog Talk Radio, at Yahweh, Baltimore, Maryland. And today we'll be talking about a chaste virgin. And, oh man, I've just got me on fire, so we're just going to go into it. So, first thing we're going to look at, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Can somebody send a thumbs up that I'm sounding, that everything's clear and y'all can understand me, please? So, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Very interesting week this week. You know, and Todaki. A very interesting week. You know, very. And kind of started off, and this is something that a realization that I had to come to this week. You know, It's the book of John. And he explains it with this excerpt of Yahushua's life. All right? So John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. He said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the Yahudim. The same came to Yahushua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from the Most High, for no man can do these miracles that you do except Yah be with him. Yahushua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yah. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So you are seeing Israel, because this is a ruler of Israel who is saying these things. Now, at the same time, what you got going on is, nowadays, Israel is the exact same way. They are the exact same way. They don't understand what Messiah had to say, because they're so dogmatic on the words and not the idea. So what he says is this. Yahushua says, Yahushua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yah. So now he's clearing it up for him. He said, okay, how must a man be born? He said, a man be born again. He can't enter the kingdom of Yah. How can a man do that? He's got to get into the womb again. And how can he get reborn? Okay, let me try this again. Unless you're born of the water, which is something that we are familiar with, a woman's water breaks and a baby is born. But when he says the water and the Spirit, you can't enter to the kingdom. You ain't going to see it. That which is born of, then he goes over, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So your spirit needs to be reborn, is what he's saying to you, right? He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. How are you tripping off of this? He don't get it. And this is a teacher within Israel teaching this. Yahushua going at it, but this guy's so dogmatic on what do you mean born again? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? So he's explaining it to him. Is look, man, you're a teacher. But he gets to that a little bit later, because we all know the story. He says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it came and where it cometh and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Yahushua answered and said unto him, are you a master of Israel and knowest not these things? What's going on with you, Israel? What's going on with you, teacher of Israel? How are you going to teach my people anything? You don't even understand this. How is that? How is it that I'm stumping you with this? How are you going to teach people about what the words say, and you don't even get this? So when he say in another sermon, it's like the blind leading the blind. He said they both fall into the ditch because neither one of them see where they're going. Israel is leading other these some. When you're so dogmatic on something, it leads people into ditches. Sometimes you just have to, we just gonna keep on going. He says, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Yep, stopping right there. You are a master in Israel and you know not these things. Let's go to another. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 24. Right now, if you want, you can read up a little bit and read down a little further, and it's, you know, but this is the point we want to get to. Verse 24, Galatians 4:24. Which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants: the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage; one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is a God. Now, if you read before that, it talks about how Abraham had two wives. And that's written in Torah, and he really had two wives. Right? But he said the two wives was an allegory. All right? Now, he said they were allegories. Is that the only allegory in the Word? Is it? Because if that's not the only allegory on the word, in the Word, don't harp on certain stuff in the Word. Understand that the Word is spiritual. Yahushua said it through Paul. He says, we know the Torah is spiritual. Is it just what, and people want to say, okay, it's the Torah. It's what Moshe wrote. Okay, fine. Is he the only one that wrote spiritual stuff? Isaiah didn't write nothing spiritual. Jeremiah didn't write nothing. All the Word is spiritual. All of it was inspired. It's inspired. The same spirit that moved on Moses is the same one that moved on all the prophets. So they all were writing, real history. But underneath that history is something else. Underneath that history is the Most High talking to us, what he really wants to say to us. So I took the life of David, and I wrote down certain stuff in the life of David. But then when somebody else comes along, or when Yahushua comes along, and he references some stuff that David did, oh, okay, that's what he was talking about. That's what he's really trying to tell us. Because it's all spiritual. That stuff really happened to David. But was to make a point about what the Son was supposed to do. What the Son of the Most High, what the Son of Yah was going to do. So you don't harp on what... No scripture is of its own private interpretation. None. He says, line by line, precept by precept, precept by precept, here a little, there a little. Match it up. He said, you compare spiritual things with spiritual things. So, yeah, they're there. But when you get pigeonholed on stuff, you're not proven to be a chaste virgin. Now, we're going to look at that. When our brother was writing, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I hope I'm not moving too fast. I forgot to give y'all time to get to it. My mistake. Like I say, Abba just got me on fire. He just got me on fire. You know, and it's hard to contain sometimes. You know, it's like you want to just, you know, you just want to explode. You're ready to go. It's, And he's like, all right, calm down. This is something that, we're going to get into it. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, right? Now, it says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Now, listen to what he says now. He says, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. Now, the word espouse in the Greek, number 718, and that word is hamuzo. Hamuzo, right? And it means to join, or it says figuratively to woo, or reflexively to betroth, but it means to fit together, to join something. So I'm joining you to one husband, right? This is what our brother Shaul is saying to the Corinthian church, right? I'm joining you, and I'm jealous for you, because I'm giving you and fitting you perfectly with this one husband, right? He said that I may present you as a chaste virgin. Now, the word chaste, the wrong word. And the chaste virgin. Hold on. As it, all right. We're going to still keep on going. As the chaste virgin, number 53 in the Greek, and it says clean, innocent, modest, perfect. I must have hit a button or something, because that's not the word that I had before. The word virgin, that's what I was looking at. The word virgin, number 3933. I hit the wrong button. The word virgin, number 3933 in the Greek. That word is parthenos. So, one, you're going to be clean, right? That's chaste. But the virgin part, it says, one who has never been married. It says a woman who never had intercourse and all that, straight from that. A woman who wasn't married, a woman who has never been had intercourse, but it also talks about a woman who is ready to be worked. Let me get back to that. A woman who is ready to be worked, a boy or a male, a male or a female, who is ready for work, right? Now, it says, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. But then verse 3, it says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. So now he says, I'm fitting you to one husband. But now he starts talking about your mind, right? So now what he's joining to Messiah was your mind. So think about what Nicodemus was saying and why he couldn't get it. Because the mind of Messiah and the mind of Nicodemus was not fitting together. That's why he couldn't understand his words when he was speaking. He was keeping on saying, how can this be? He couldn't get it because their minds were not meeting together. Right? So when he told him, you have to be born again. Okay, if you're born again, that means you're clean, you're a virgin again. And now you're ready to learn. You're ready to be worked. He's making you suitable for work again. But it's your mind that has to be doing, that this has to happen with. It has to be joint with Messiah, right? So what he says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is Messiah. So now we understand what the serpent is after. I'm here to corrupt your minds, and I'm here to complicate your minds. Because, what do you say? Messiah is simple. He's giving us simple stuff. It's not hard. It's not complicated with Messiah. But the serpent is here to complicate our thoughts so they won't fit. You know? It's like Messiah is a jigsaw puzzle that contains two pieces, and you just put them together. That's easy to do. But if you get a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, it's a lot harder to do, if that makes sense. I hope everybody gets that illustration, you know? But that's what he's trying to do. So our brother Shaul says that, right? He says, by fear, lest by any means that the serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. Now, here's how he's going to do it. Verse 4, listen to what he says. For if he that cometh preaches another Yahushua, whom we have not preached. So, the word preach. Number 2784, and that word is keroso, and it means to herald as a public cry, especially a divine truth. So people are going to be talking, and that's what the herald is. They just stand in the street yelling. You know, think about them old movies where somebody had they were selling newspapers. Get your newspapers. And he would yell what the news is on the newspaper to try to attract business. That's what the heralder is. So somebody's going to be talking about a Messiah, and he said they coming. He said, if he that come talks about another Messiah or preaches another Messiah that I have not, that we haven't given you. And then he says, or if you receive another spirit. Now the word spirit. That word, number 4151, pneuma, right? It says, from number 4154, it says, a current of air, that is breath or breeze, by analogy, a figurative, a spirit, human, rational soul, principle, mental disposition, superhuman, all this, or, see, think of it this way, the word spirit, or he said, if he that come and preaches another Yahushua or talks about another Yahushua who we ain't talking about, or if you receive another inspiration, which we have not received, see, because you think about the spirit, where is it? All word. He breathed, he inspired these men. It was a breath of air that came upon them. So people are going to try to inspire you to another Yahushua, right? He says, if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel. I mean, this is three different ways he's coming at you that he's naming it, right? He said, or if you receive another gospel, you know the word gospel, good news, right? So, no, you ain't got to keep no laws. You ain't got to keep no judgments, no law statutes. Everybody going to heaven. Free pass. Just love people, and you'll be up in the rapture. You understand? Right? So he says, or another gospel, another good news, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. How are we going to bear that? That's not something that was given to us. That's not fitting with the Messiah. But he says, if somebody else come doing these things, you're going to bear him. You're not going to kick him out. Because that stuff sounds good to you. That stuff sounds good to the flesh. We love it. Because our minds have been corrupted. That's what's going to happen. Right? So we have to stay in that clean, virginous mindset. Right? So, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Excuse me. Hope everybody's following along. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And it reads, I charge you, therefore, before Yah and the Master Yahushua, Yahushua HaMashiach, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. I charge you, therefore, before Yah and the Master Yahushua HaMashiach, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Talk about this word. Tell people about this word. Cry this word out. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, reboot, extort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now the word instant. This word, number 2186. And it is ephistemi. And it means to stand upon. That is, be present in various applications, friendly or otherwise. Right? But what is he telling Timothy? He's telling Timothy, look, tell people about the word and then stand on that word. Stand up. Don't let nobody back you down from this word. Don't back you down from your beliefs. You believe this word, stand up. Don't let nobody change you. After you tell them about that word, they come at you with these strange doctrines because he already wrote that they come in with strange doctrines. You stand up for the Most High. That's what you do. You say this is your belief, first of all, he said you stand up for it and you do it. He says be present. So if you believe you don't supposed to eat shrimp or eat certain kinds of food, don't eat them. Somebody offered to go out, I'm good. So you stand up for that word, right? He says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, extort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So what that means for us, the time will come. The time has come for us. The time has come for us. Nobody wants to hear the word of Yah, because that's the sound doctrine. Nobody wants to hear what's going to get them right. Every man has their own opinion. Every man has their own way. It's like the time of the judges, where Israel, where the word said there was no king in Israel. Well, that's how it is for the world right now. There is no king. They don't see the king. And every man just does what they want to do, does what they see, but what they think is right. Because in their minds, there is no king. There's no repercussion for my actions. None. So you tell them, hey, wait a minute, man. Might not want to do that. The word is coming. I mean, Yahushua is coming. He's going to reprove you. I don't want to hear that. Okay. But I told you. You can feel bad all you want. You know now. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears after your own lust. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell us smooth things. Cause the Holy One of Israel to disappear from us. Cause him to cease. Don't tell me what I can't do. Don't tell me I can't fornicate. Love fornicating. Don't tell me I can't cheat people. I love cheating people. This makes me happy. So he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. There's no punishment for your actions. Everybody gets a free pass for heaven because God loves you. Everybody's going to see the pearly gates and the insides, and we're going to live with God forever in harmony and everything because he loves you. Fables. There's no hell. There's no punishment. Fables. So again, our minds have to be right. Our minds have to be prepared for this work that he has for us. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 48 to 51. Right? It says, Acts chapter 7, verse 48. It reads, it says, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me? Saith Yahweh, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. So, okay. If we are to be this chaste virgin who's ready for working, ready to stand up for that word, ready to like I said, be instant, ready to exhort, ready to rebuke, ready to do all these things, we cannot resist the Holy Spirit just like our fathers did. We cannot be that, let me say, uncircumcised in the heart and in the ear. Right? Because we have to be ready to hear instructions. What is the greatest command in Yahushua? What is the greatest command in all? Love Yahweh with all your heart, all your mind. But before all that, Shema Yisrael. Shema, listen. That's the greatest command. Listen, Israel, because Yahweh is going to tell us exactly how it needs to be done. You know, Abba, and again, we complicate things so much. you know. He showed me, I mean, because I asked the question, and one of the things he put, at least I thought I was asking a question, but he put something on my mind, you know. He said, son, I gave you my Holy Spirit. Why do you think I gave you my Holy Spirit? What was the purpose of me giving you my Holy Spirit? You know, outside of what's written, outside of the down payment, outside of all these things. And see, because this is one thing that we have to do, right? All these things were written for our benefit. It was written for our knowledge. It was written for our learning. But we have to develop our own relationship with the Most High. We have to. The conversations that we have, they're going to be in accord with what's written. But then he's teaching us now. He's teaching us right now. You know? The era we live in right now, man has gotten more wickeder than he was 2,000 years ago. So we have to. Our relationship, I don't want to say evolving or changing. I don't want to use those words, but our relationship has to grow. Our relationship has to magnify, because the way he's talking to me is the way he's talking to me. And I can verify that through the word, but it's different than the way he talked to the other prophets. And it's different for everybody. And it doesn't matter who you are, because each relationship is personal. It's a personalized relationship. You know? And it's going to be in accord with the word. You know? But every relationship is going to be, it's different. It's not going to be the exact same relationship. You know, the same spirit that talked to Isaiah talked to Jeremiah, but they didn't say the exact same thing. You know, they gave you ideas and you know, they built on each other, you know, but one brick is different than the other brick. Even though they're serving the same purpose. All right? I hope everybody understands what I'm saying. Right? He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. All right? The book of Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7 through 10. Isaiah 63:7-10. Excuse me. Nose stopped up. Isaiah 63:7. It says, I will mention the loving kindness of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh according to all that Yahweh has bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior in all their affliction. He was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. So let's talk about all the good that Yahweh is. When you went through your struggles, guess who else was struggling? When you was getting whipped by them taskmasters, guess who else felt your pain? When you cried out to me, I felt that. All your afflictions, I was afflicted. Verse 10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. The word vexed. Number 6087. That word asab, and it means to carve, that is fabricate or fashion, in a bad sense, to worry, pain, or anger. So guess what we did to that Holy Spirit, and it caused him to be our enemy. We pained his Holy Spirit. We worried his Holy Spirit. We hurt his Holy Spirit. We hurt them because in his mind, he said, man, these my kids. They ain't going to lie to me. And think about a father. Think about the first time your child ever lied to you. You know? It's a hard feeling. You ain't got to lie to me about nothing. About anything. You know? Because you want your children to trust you. Well, he said, because you did all these things, now I turn to be your enemy. Now I gotta take this hedge off. All that protection I had for you, I gotta take this hedge off and let the world get you. Because you don't want to listen. You don't want to be that chaste virgin. You don't want to be. You don't want to be clean. You want to wallow in the mud. So go wallow in the mud. Right? So he says, I'm sorry. All right, the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. No. And this is what, when I was reading this, this is what Abba gave me that question. How did I give you this Holy Spirit? They love. Because there's stuff you need to know. There's stuff you want to know. But it's real simple. And like I say, we overcomplicate it. Let's read this real simple. Luke 11, 9 through 13. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. See how simple that is? See how simple that is? But in our world and in our minds, see, we complicate stuff. We complicate it. So guess what? He gave us his Holy Spirit to use. It's not just there. He gave that parable of the talents. He said, I gave this man 5 talents, gave this man 3 talents, I gave this man 1 talent. He said, the one with the 5 talents used it and got more. The ones with the 3 talents used it, got more. The one with the 1 talent buried it, did not use it, and it was taken away from him. So he gave us his Holy Spirit for us to use. But guess what? Sometimes we go, well, how do we use it? Guess what? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find it. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh finds. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So, Father, you want to know how to use him? Ask Abba how to use his Spirit. ask him. And then seek to use it. Because it's not just that one spot. Show me how to use your Holy Spirit. Okay, no problem. And wait. And wait. Buffering. And all this stuff. No. Seek to use it then. Seek to use it. You know, seek to use his Holy Spirit after you ask him. Because he's going to show you. If you really want to know. And so many times that it's like, wow, the answer's not there. The answer's not there. And you know, things get put on the back burner sometimes. You know. And sometimes it's for your learning because you might not be at that step yet. But sometimes it's because you're distracted. You want to know something from Abba. He got an answer for you. But sometimes you got to learn some other things before you get to this answer. But sometimes you're just distracted. You're just distracted. It's just that the cares of the world caught you at the end of the day. Right? So what he says is this. He says, for everyone that asks, receive, he that seeketh, find, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? So if your son hungry, and dad, I need something to eat, you got some bread, you ain't going to give him no rock to eat. He says, or if he asks a fish, will he, for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So after we receive the Holy Spirit, after we baptize and take on our burdens, our stake, and follow after Yahushua, we receive that Holy Spirit. Now we got to learn how to use it. And how do we learn how to use it? We ask. But you know, in our life sometimes, we overcomplicate things. Like we was talking in the chat. We are super geniuses. Wild E. Coyote. We are. Because a coyote naturally knows how to catch a roadrunner. That's a natural thing for a coyote. They are natural predators. That's a roadrunner is something that coyotes eat. But Wild E. Coyote, super genius, he got to get rockets and stuff like that. And not rely on the natural instincts that Abba gave him because he's too smart for his own good, just like man. Too smart for his own good. So, next verse. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verses 25 to 40. All right. I hope everybody's following still. Because again, you know, this is about our mind and how we see a thing. Versus how Abba wants us to see it. All right. He has to clean up these minds. Has to. It has to be born again. Has to be that virgin. Has to be ready. Ready for work. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. It says, now concerning virgins. Now, we want to keep this in context. What he is talking about from here on down to in this chapter is virgin men, virgin women, and being single, right? Versus being married. But think about your mind now, because again, we was talking about how he said, I presented you a chaste virgin, but then he started talking about how your mind works, right? Think about your mind when he's talking about these different, what a virgin does versus a married person does. When we read this, think about your mindset and think about in marriage. Sometimes we're married to things that we ought not be married to, because a marriage ain't nothing but a joining together. Right? So, chapter verse 25, it says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the master, yet I give my judgment. Now he's saying, look, this ain't written in Torah, but I'm gonna tell you what I think. I'm gonna tell you some stuff, right? He said, I'm giving you my judgment, right? And I love how he ends this, because remember, he's giving you his judgment right now. He says, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the master to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. So, if you're married, stay married. If you're loose from a wife, don't look to get married. In other words, he was saying, he says, I suppose it's good for the present distress. It's good to be by yourself, a virgin, right? He said, but if you're married, don't look to get married. I mean, don't look to get divorced. Don't look to be loosed, right? He said, if you're not married, don't look to take on the wife. Stay in this position. And remember, he's speaking by permission. It's nothing the matter with getting married. He's going to say that, all right? But remember, this is about your mind. He says, verse 28, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had not, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as they possess not. And they that use them, he's talking, that part right there, he's talking about time being short and the trouble that's going to come upon people. See, and that's one of the reasons why he said it's good to be a virgin. Right? Now, that's fleshly. He said it's good to be, how that happened? Right? He said that's one of the reasons why it's good to be a virgin, because distress is going to come. And if you're married and they take your wife, that's even more stress on you. Right? Because time is short. He knows the tribulation is going to come. Because it's written. Remember who's writing this letter. You're talking about Shaul. He's a Pharisee. He understood this word. And on top of that, he has a relationship with the Most High. Right? But, again, he says this. He says, verse 30, he says, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. If you look up this word fashion, number 4976, that word schema, where we get the word scheme. Right? He says, the alternate of 2192, it says a figure. as a moment of circumstance, that is the condition, the external condition, this world. The condition of this world is passing away. So think about how, look at the conditions of this world. And more importantly, because we're talking about the mind, look at the conditions of the mindset of the people in this world. Progressively worsening and worsening. Right now, we are in the worst condition the world has ever seen as far as thinking goes. We are at the point where little boys call themselves little girls, and the parents are cool with that. They can choose genders. They sitting up there, the whole thing. People are robbing one another. People are stealing one another. They're choking and killing, shooting in the streets. Dead bodies just laying everywhere. Black, and it don't matter what color you are, even though it's disproportionately in this country, black people. Jails packed. People don't want to, the mindset of people right now is just nuts. Nobody wants to hear it. You got kids, and because people, the motherhood age keeps getting younger and younger, you got the babies raising the babies. And they acting just like their 15, 16, 17-year-old mothers, through all this hype and rah-rah and this, that, and another. So now you got another generation coming up, and they're going to do the exact same thing. Nobody sees anything the matter with it. Nobody thinks that it's wrong. Nobody wants to change the condition that they're in. Because they're good with it, right? And this is the whole world. Nobody wants to be reborn. Get back to that virgin mindset where it's time, okay, reset. Because that's what Abba did. I need to reset man. I'm not going to destroy him. I'm not going to wipe him out again. What I'm going to do, I'm going to reset them. How I'm going to do it? My spirit. He says, they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. 32. But I will have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried, care for the things that belong to the master, how he may please the master. But he that is married, care for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the master, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So think about who you're married to. And that's why he's making this contrast. That's the word. That virgin who's unmarried. And let me say this. Based on that, and again, we got to keep it in context. We keep talking about the mindset. But he was talking about a physical marriage, right? But if your mind is married to this world, you're going to be doing the things that's pleasing to this world, right? If your mind is joined to this world. But if you have that virgin mindset, you're going to be doing the things that are pleasing to Yahweh. You're going to be doing the things that are pleasing to Yahushua. You have to have that virgin mindset. You cannot be entangled. Entangled. You can't be entangled with this world. All right? He says, verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is coming, and that ye may attend upon Yahweh without distraction. So again, just like from a physical standpoint, if a man is married, and this is what he's saying, from a physical standpoint, if a husband or a wife is married, they have to spend time and devote some time to the husband or wife, their spouse. They can't be fully obligated to deal with the Most High and do the things of the Most High. Okay? But he understands that marriage is from the Most High. Right? And I'm talking from a physical standpoint. Right? But from a mental standpoint, if your mind is married to the world, how are you going to, and he says, as a distraction. And it doesn't mean a distraction in a bad way, but in the mindset, it can be a distraction in a bad way. Because if you have the mindset of serving this world, it will choke out, as in those parables, the mindset of serving Yahweh. Okay? He says, that you may attend upon Yahweh without distraction. Verse 36. But if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely towards his virgin, if he passes the flower of her age and need to require, and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but have power over his own will, and have so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. In other words, from a physical standpoint, you courting a woman, you want to be with this woman, and you've been dating. You have a desire to be with this woman, and you cannot control it. Get married. You want to be with this woman. You see a woman look good to you. Yada, yada, yada. Introduce yourself. Go about the correct way, and it's physically speaking, and court that woman, marry that woman, fulfill that desire. But if you can control that desire, right? And you got it in your heart that I don't want to be with no woman. Physically speaking, I don't want to be with no woman. I want to devote myself fully to the Most High. I ain't trying to be with no woman. And you have the ability to control that desire. Well, stay that way. Don't get married. That's what Paul is saying. You have options, right? He says, if you can't control it, you want to be with that woman, go be married. If you can control it, well, stay a virgin. Be with the Most High. But what is he saying about the mind? Right? It's going to be tests. You have to develop willpower to stay that virgin. Because you don't want to get distracted with the world. You don't want to be in that love affair with the world, joint that union with the world. Use your willpower. Develop that willpower to stay from the distractions, stay from the entanglement, stay from the marriage to this world. We can't be married to the world. Because remember, we are espoused to one husband. Either it's going to be Yahushua HaMashiach or whoever else you decide to join. going to save the world. Right? So he says, he that has so decreed and his heart, he will keep his virgin, do it well. Verse 38, he said, so then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth bad. The wife is bound by law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married, to whom she will, only in the master. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the spirit of Yah. And I love how he ended that. Because if you remember at the beginning, he said, yo, I'm going to tell you my judgment. Right? But he said, I'm telling you, I know I got the spirit of Yah. So it ain't me talking. It's not me talking, y'all. Please understand that. You know? I love how we ended that. All right. We got one more scripture, I believe. All right. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Oh. Pay attention to this story, y'all. Because when I go open my eyes to this, pay attention. Isaiah chapter 7, starting at verse 1. And it reads, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Ramalia, the son of Ramalia, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but it could not prevail against it. Now, the word, the name Rezin. Number 7526. Rezin, it means firm. He is the king of Syria, the king of Number 758. Aram, or the highland, the exalted people. Exalted. He is joined with Pekah. Number 6492. And it means opened, especially the eyes. The son of Ramalia, number 7425. It says, protected of Yah. Or, Yah has bedecked. Like Yah has given something to somebody, right? King of Israel. Right? We know what Israel means. Number 3578. He will rule as Yah. Or, he will rule as God. Or he prevails with God, right? But all these people are coming against Yehuda. They're coming against Yehuda, right? The exalted people, the firm exalted people. Think about people who are exalted and they're firm in their beliefs. Excuse me. The Nicodemuses in this world. The firm, exalted people. right? Mr. I got 7 bachelors, 6 doctorates. They're exalted and they're firm in what they say. So their words carry weight, so to speak, in this world. Right? Then you have Pekah, the ones whose eyes are opened. They got their eyes open, right? And they think they got something from the Most High. They're bedecked. They got something from the Most High. But these people are Israelites, right? But don't think of Israel in a good way in this sense, because this isn't a good thing. He shall prevail with mighty ones. How many mighty ones come up against Yehuda, those who praise Yah, and think that mighty ones are going to overcome you? You're against a mighty one every day. Every time somebody comes to you with Jesus, that's that mighty one coming up against you who praise Yah. Dr. such and such comes down there and tells you, scientifically speaking, this, that, and another happened, and this is why the locusts are coming. No, Yah moved those locusts. Why? You praise Yah, and he's coming after you. He's coming after you. This is a nice story, y'all, and this is a warning that Yahweh is giving to us, because when you look up the word Ahaz, right? Number 2:7:1. It means possessor or someone who grasps, someone who possesses something, right? Because this is who he's going up against. Jotham, the son of Jotham, number 3:1-4:7. Yah has perfected. He completed something, right? He's completing something. And how was it complete? He said he's the king of Yehuda. This is who they're coming against. The people of this world is coming against those who are possessing the strength of Uzziah, because I said skip Uzziah, didn't I? The son of Jotham, yeah, the one who's completed. Uzziah, that's the strength of Yah. That's number 5:8:1-8. Yah is my strength. So we possess the completion of Yah. Yah has completed something. Yah is my strength. And these are the ones who praise him. They're the ones that they're coming against. They're not worrying about nobody else. Yisrael, those who think they can overcome with their mighty ones, are coming against those who praise Yah. Right? He says, the king of Israel went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail. Listen to the story, y'all. He says, and it was told, verse 2, and it was told the house of Dawid, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, in this case, Ephraim, the double fruit, meaning Israel. Right? He says Serbia is confederate. That they're confederate with Ephraim. So think about it. Just because these dudes say they praise Yah, or they're Israelites. See, they say they got their eyes all open because they got something from Yah. That don't mean that they're your friend. He says they're confederate with those who are exalted in this world. Wasn't Nick Cannon friends with those who were exalted in this world? He says, and his heart was moved. He said they confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved. And the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said Yahweh unto Yeshaya. I love this part right here. He said, then said Yahweh unto Yeshaya, go forth now to meet Ahaz. You and Sharabshub, right? Thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the full of ship. Now, Yahweh tells Yeshaya, number 3470. Yah has saved, right? Yahweh says unto Yah has saved, right? Now, when you think about saving something, think about some money that you saved. You know? Yeah, all of this salvation and this, that, and that, because all those words are interconnected. But think about some money that you saved, something that you set aside, right? He says, Yahweh said unto Yah has saved. So Yah put something aside, right? He's telling it now to go forth and meet someone who possesses something, who grasps something, right? He says, what I set aside, because when he says you, he's still talking to Yeshaya. You and, I'm just reading the Hebrew, number 7610, Sharabshub. That word means a remnant will return, right? So he says, when you look up, when you actually look up the word for the first part of it, it's talking about a remnant, but that's the shoe part. But if you look at 7605, it means the rest, the residue, or the remainder, right? Same thing, remnant, remainder, what's left over is what he's saying. So he's saying, Yahweh said unto Yeshaya, go forth now and meet Ahaz, you and Sharabashub, or the remainder, the remainder will return, right? Your son, right? At the end of the conduit, hold up. Now, the conduit is a river. Now, this is literally happening, right? It's the course that the river going through, right? But you have to meet what he has saved already is going to meet you at the end. And what he got left over is going to meet you at the end of the course, right? He says he's going to meet you at the end of the conduit of the upper pool. The pool is where the water collects, right? Where it forms a pool. In the highway of the fullest field, right? But they're going to meet someone, the son. They're going to meet, number one, he's the king of the people who praise Yah. That's who's going to get what was saved and what's left over. He said, one, you got to be Yahudi. Two, he said he was the son of Uzziah. You have to have the strength of Yah. Jotham, he says, you have to be completed by Yah. That means Yah got to work on you. Right? And his name is Ahaz. He's the possessor. He's the guy that possesses all these things. Right? But you're going to get something at the end. So verse 4, he says, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. This is what Yeshaya is supposed to be telling Ahaz, the one who possessed these things. He says, take heed and be quiet. Look up the word quiet, number 252, right? That word is shakak, or it means to repose, to chill, calm down. In other words, like my brother said, don't panic. Stop panicking, Israel. We ain't got nothing to be afraid of. And he keeps on reminding us of that. He keeps on telling us that we ain't got nothing to be afraid of. We can't, you know, we cannot jump at every scare tactic that the adversary puts out there. We can't. Why? Because we're supposed to be, the word says we're supposed to be instant. We're supposed to be standing still. We're not supposed to be, every time we jump, what happens? There's a chance to go back and forth. There's a chance for that wind to blow. There's a chance to get us unbalanced. There's a chance to get us knocked off. So he say, stand up. And don't be afraid. Calm your body. Calm your spirit. Don't panic, as my brother said. He says, and he said unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not. Neither be faint-hearted. Neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails will be smoking firebrands. For the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Amaliah. Because Syria and Ephraim and the son of Amaliah had taken evil counsel against thee. So, those who praise Yah, they talking about you. Even the ones who have their eyes open within Israel, supposed to be our brothers, they talking about you. He says, they taking evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Yehuda and vex it. How they going to vex it? Huh? And let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabiel. Tabiel, number 2870. God is good. So if somebody else come preaching and telling you about another Yahushua, or you get another spirit, another inspiration, or they're telling you some different good news, don't believe them. Be that chaste virgin. We can't have these love affairs with everybody that sticks something out on YouTube ain't for you. Everybody that sticks something out on Facebook ain't for you. We have to learn to separate the wheat from the chaff, the meat from the bone. We say, hold fast, hear all things. Don't be afraid of it. Don't let this disturb your spirit. Hear everything. Listen. He said, but hold fast to that which is good. You got to separate it. You got to. How do you do that? Father, what part of this? Ask. Ask. Just talk to him. Open communication, as my brother said. Open communication. You want to know? Ask. We have no reason to be afraid. I have not given you a spirit of fear, the word said. But what I have given you is a sound mind. That's why I gave you. And that's what you're supposed to be using. He says, let us go up against Yehuda and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabiel. Thus saith the Master Yahweh, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Why? We have that spirit. We have his Holy Spirit, and we are not fitted for him. not our husband. We were not espoused to him. We were espoused to Yahushua HaMashiach, and that's it. He says, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Moreover, Yahweh spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of Yahweh, your mighty one. You hear that? The ones of the king of Yehuda. He said, you ask me, you ask Yahweh, your mighty one. Why separation? Excuse me. Ask me a sign of Yahweh, your mighty one. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Well, I don't care what it is. Ask it. What sign you want for me? Mess with me now, man. Oh, my goodness. Daggone thing. Jumping back and forth. I tell you, technology is fun. He says, ask the sovereignty of Yahweh, your mighty one. Ask even the depth or in the height above. Verse 12. But Ha said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Yahweh. Your word good enough for me. Not going to ask that sign of you. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to worry, men. But will you worry my mighty one also? You're causing enough trouble down here. Right? With men. But you ain't worrying my mighty one also. Get right. That's what he said. Therefore, the master himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, the word virgin in this one is Alma. Number 5959. Right? Now, when I looked into the Hebrew when I looked into the ancient Hebrew lexicon, now, definition. And surprisingly, and this is what I was saying earlier. Excuse me. Alma. You have Alm and Alma. Alm is a young man ready for work. A young man at the prime age for work. Alma is a young female at the prime age for work. But it's been defined as virgin. So think about that, y'all. Yahweh gave us a spirit, gave us his spirit. He says, you must be born again, right? By water and the spirit. He showed us how the virgin connects to the mindset. So, what he wants from us is a mind that is ready to be worked, or work for him. That's what we have to develop. That's why we can't get caught up in all these different distractions in the world, that we cannot get caught up in our own opinions. We can't get caught up in all these things that's outside of our thought. All right? He gave us, he could have wiped man out. And none of us, he could have wiped him out again. But he said in his heart that he would. There's plenty of times he could have sent all kinds of things onto our forefathers. But he allowed them to live. Just so we can be around. Because he has hope for his children. Like you read earlier. Surely my children ain't going to lie to me. Forefathers did just that. You know, at the end of the day, what he wants for us is to be joint with him and for us to work harder, get back that relationship that was lost, y'all. So, again, that young virgin is going to conceive and bear a son. That mindset is going to conceive and it's going to bear a son. And the son is, we going to call him Emmanuel. God is with us. How do we do that? Get that Holy Spirit, because he's with us. And we have to understand he's with us. So that ends the blog talk today. Send your brother D well. And we're going to close up. If you have any questions, put them on the line. You know, we'll get to them. You know, I recruit my brothers all the time. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills. All of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are Mighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the Mighty One who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah. Habiyah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for allowing us, Father, to come before you today. Thank you for your loving kindness, your mercy, which you continue to give on us day by day, Father. Your mercies are renewed for us each day, Father. Father, we thank you for protecting us, hedging us up, Father. We thank you for opening up our minds, opening our hearts and our ears to your word, Father. Thank you for growing us. Thank you for continuing to just being a part of our life, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins, Father, and we ask that you chastise us when we go to the right and to the left, Father. Give us back on your path. Father, we ask that you continue to renew our minds and continue to make us one with you, Father, little by little. Father, I ask that you put your spirit upon the teacher today, whoever he may be. I don't know. I can't remember. But you put your spirit upon him. Put your words in his mouth. And let him say and edify us in a way that is pleasing to you, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over the sick, the elderly. Our Zakins, our Zakinas, heal them according to your good will. We ask all these things in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Amen. Bye, shalom, family.
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes where there was a flame. you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name.
God's not done with you,
even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars.
God's not done with you,
even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart.
God's not done with you,
it's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. The strength that's growing inside your shattered heart.
No, he's not.